The text for the sermon this evening is Psalm 78, verses 52 through 55. But he made his own people go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And he led them on safely so that they did not fear. But the sea overwhelmed their enemies. And he brought them to his holy border, the mountain, this mountain which his right hand had acquired. He also drove out the nations before them, allotted them an inheritance by survey, and made the tribes of Israel dwell in their tents. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the history of the church is both exciting and edifying because it is the story of the Lord's doing. If we were to consider the history of our local church in Fort Collins and all that the Lord has done here in the years past, it would be to us a very thrilling story. Psalm 78 is thrilling to the church because it is a long history lesson of the Lord's faithful mercies and loving kindnesses to his church. It is the story of God's dealings with his people. It is so important that we must tell the great things God has done to our children and to our children's children and to each succeeding generation, that they also might know who God is and what God has done, and might not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright, and whose spirit was not faithful to God. History is the years of the Lord's mercies and of our sins. It magnifies God's mercy all the more that in spite of what we are, God is so gracious. There's a very deep line of division in Psalm 78 between the world and the Lord's own people. And that line of division always has existed and always will. For all attempts to blend the seed of the serpent with the seed of the woman must fail. Between the church and the world, however debased the church may become, and however reformed the world may be, there will still be a clear distinction even until the end. And that distinction will be seen in the day of the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when before him all nations shall be gathered, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. At this very moment, even in this congregation, though no human eye can read each heart, there's a clear division among us who are here. If some infallible teller could now divide the house into yeas and nays, separating those who are on God's side from those who are not, the spectacle would be a very striking one. I pray that each one's own conscience may at least in some measure make that division, and that we may all ask ourselves whether we fear the God of Israel or do not fear him, whether we are for him or against him. For you can be well assured that as God dealt with Egypt of old, so he will deal with all his enemies. And as he dealt with Israel of old, so he will deal with all his own people. God has made an everlasting distinction between those who fear him and those who do not fear him. And that distinction will be seen in his dealings with men. Are you an enemy of the God of Israel? If so, you can see in the punishment of Egypt how he will deal with you. You cannot be victorious in this fight, so yield at once. Perhaps you say, no, I'm not an enemy of God, but I never think of him. He made you. He breathed into you the breath of life, and yet you say that you never think of him? What a shameful slight you put upon his holy majesty. He is here close to you at this moment. He surrounds you every step with mercy, and yet you never think of him? Shall I give you one of his own messages to remember? It's a very dreadful one. Psalm 50, verse 22. Consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. May none of you ever come to experience what that terrible verse means. Escape, I pray you, while you can escape. Flee from the wrath to come. Lay hold on eternal life. The door of God's mercy is open to you today, and whoever believes in Jesus Christ passes in through that door. In fact, Jesus Christ is the door. He said in John 10, verse 9, I am the door. If any man enter by me, he shall be saved. Come unto God by him, that there may be peace between you and your God. The Lord Jesus tells us here in Psalm 78, verse 52, God made his own people go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock, and he led them on safely so that they did not fear, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. First, God made his own people go forth like sheep. He led them on safely. He brought them to his holy border, this mountain which his right hand had acquired. He drove out the nations before them. He allotted them an inheritance by survey. He made the tribes of Israel dwell in their tents. It is amazing, astounding, that in spite of the record of their rebellion and their sin against God, the Lord is still good and merciful and gracious and loving to his own covenant people, to his church. This is the covenant God who does not give up on his people. This is the gospel of God's grace and salvation to a wicked and undeserving people. The clay is terribly marred in the hand of the potter. As we read in the prophet Jeremiah, yet he did not destroy it. From that very same lump of marred clay, he made another vessel. God never scraps his people, but always restores them and renews them. He forgives them and makes a fresh beginning for them. It is a great comfort to know that God has no scrap heap for his people. He has no bin that he throws us in, even though we deserve it. But he continues shaping us into his own holy image in true knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. That is what verse 53 means, and he led them on safely. It is telling us that in life, God will always be in front of us. Notice in each of these verses that God is the leader who does something for his own people. Verse 52, he made his own people go forth like sheep. Verse 53, and led them on safely. Verse 54, he brought them to his holy border, this mountain which his right hand had acquired. Verse 55, he also drove out the nations before them. He allotted them an inheritance by survey. He made the tribes of Israel dwell in their tents. He leads. He is ahead of us. He goes in front of us. He went ahead of his people to search out a resting place for them. Psalm 78 verse 14 says that the Lord led them with the cloud and all the night with the light of fire. He led them through that vast howling wilderness, that unknown way. They knew that the Lord was ahead. They knew that God was leading them, and therefore it was a safe way. We can think of Deuteronomy chapter 31 verse 8. When Joshua takes the place of Moses as the leader, the human leader of God's own people Israel. Joshua is Israel's new leader under God. Moses said to Joshua, "And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed." Notice the emphasis. And Jehovah Himself. He is the one who goes before you. Not an angel. Not any human leader. But the Lord God Himself. You might be tempted to say, "Ah, that was a promise to Joshua as the leader of Israel. How can that apply to me?" I will tell you how it applies to you. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 5, the Lord repeats this promise to Moses, or rather to Joshua. "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you." Does that sound familiar? The Lord says to us in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5, "For He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." The Lord is quoting Joshua chapter 1 verse 5, which is the same as Deuteronomy chapter 31 verse 8. The inspired apostle is saying in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5, just as surely as that applied to Moses and that applied to Joshua, so it applies to Christians. God promises us that He will go before us and lead us through to the end. It is not true that these promises of the Old Testament only belong to Israel and not to Christians in the Church of God today. The apostles cite them and quote them and apply them to Christians. And that is our warrant from God to make these promises our own. And He led them on safely. And He leads you on safely. He leads every Christian on safely, always ahead of us, always going before us. It means that all is well because God is guiding us. The Lord says it this way in the Song of Moses, in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 10 through 12. "He found him in a desert land and in the waste land, a howling wilderness. He encircled him, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings. So the Lord alone led him, and there was no foreign God with him." We are safe because God is leading us. Our text says, "And He led them on safely." What a comfort that is. He ensures our safety. God never gets it wrong. God never makes a mistake. There is no real danger while you are following the Lord's guidance and leading in life. It is true that there can be perplexing times in life. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 18, we read that the Lord led His people around by way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. They did not take the most direct route. but they swung south to the Red Sea. It was not the obvious route to Canaan, but they were safe. Sometimes life can be perplexing. God's guidance can seem mysterious, and it does not seem to make sense to us. But the main thing is it is clear to God. He knows what He is doing, and He leads us on safely. That is why it is put this way in Psalm 107, verse 7. And He led them forth by the right way. He can seem roundabout, but it is the right way. That is what makes it safe. Brothers and sisters, He ensures our safety in that way, just as He ensured the safety of His people Israel in that right way. Sometimes the people of Israel felt safe when they trusted. The word safely means securely confident because someone who is in charge loves us and He knows what He is doing and He is guided by perfect wisdom and by perfect love. The pillar of cloud and fire was with them night and day. Wherever they went, the Lord was always there with them. They felt safe, and we can feel safe as well. There's only one reason why we should not feel safe, and that is when we are outside of the Lord's revealed will. Then we are exposed to dangers. Then we might well feel unsafe. To disobey, to not walk carefully with God, to not keep close to Him and His word and His will and His commandments is unsafe. The happiest place you can be is in the center of God's revealed will. That is the safest place you can be. You might not feel safe. There are plenty of occasions when to do something contrary to God's revealed will might seem to be the safer option. How many Christians have stepped outside of God's revealed will by compromising? By doing something that seems safe, much safer than strict obedience. Oh, if I honor God in this matter, if I put God first, then what is going to happen to me? I must give way a little. I must accommodate. Then the troubles really begin. And then the peace and safety really go. Oh, keep close to God and do His holy will. Obey His will revealed in Scripture. Follow His providence and leading. That will be the safest place of all. He will lead you on safely. What if you are persecuted? What if there's a price to pay? What if things do go wrong? God will put it all right and make it up to you. You are safe while you are in the center of God's revealed will, no matter what. In the case of Israel, whenever they followed the Lord and believed Him and trusted Him for all their needs, all was well. The manna came and they drank water from the flinty rock. They had victory over their enemies. The only time they really went wrong was when they rebelled and they murmured and they sinned against God. What about in Numbers chapter 13 and 14? They were on the border of the promised land. The spies came back from the land of Canaan with that evil report. Only two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, "Do not believe the evil report of the 10 spies. We are well able to overcome the Canaanites. If the Lord delights in us, He will lead us into the land of Canaan." The majority of the congregation of Israel would have stoned those two men, Caleb and Joshua. when God sentenced them to wander in the 40 years until that generation died, and only would the next generation would enter into the promised land, suddenly they all said, "Oh, we will go into the land of Canaan. Let us do it now." And Moses said, "Do not go up, lest you be defeated by your enemies, for the Lord is not among you." They presumed to go up to the mountaintop. The Canaanites and the Amalekites who dwelt in that mountain came down and they attacked them and they drove them back as far as Hormah. It was hopeless. Outside of God's revealed will, presumption really got them into trouble. If they had obeyed God in the first place, if they had not believed the testimony of those 10 spies, but believed Joshua and Caleb, who were men of faith, if they had even, against the odds of the fear of the Canaanites and the fear of entering Canaan with its giants and its walled cities, if they had gone forward in faith, God would have led them on safely. But they did not. And then they tried, and it was a disaster. The lesson is clear. Trust in God. Follow Him. Honor Him. Do His will. Whatever you do, you will be in safety. He will lead you on safely. If God is with us, all is well. He will not be with us if we step outside of His revealed will. What is the result for God's own people? The Lord says in verse 53, so that they did not fear. The Lord wants us never to be afraid. That is why there are so many "do not fear" statements in the Bible. For example, in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Those are tremendous words. Verse 13, "For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you." Look at the tenderness there. Fear not, I will help you. He holds your right hand. It is as if He comes right next to us. And just like we try to comfort and encourage a person by taking His hand in ours affectionately, the Lord conveys His loving support. "For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you." That is amazing. He leads us on safely so that we do not fear. Sometimes we miss the tenderness of God's dealings with us. God brought His people out of Egypt and He held their hand in His. We read in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 9, "Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt." Thousands and thousands of Israelites were streaming out of Egypt and marching in their ranks toward the land of Canaan. And God says, "I took them by the hand and I led them out of the land of Egypt." It was as if each godly believing Israelite felt God holding His hand as He led them out. What is there to fear if God holds our hand? We are thankful if a fellow human being, a loved one, holds our hand in tender expression of support and care. But God Himself does it. We do tend to be afraid. We do tend to fear. There are certain things that make us afraid, and yet there is this tenderness which can remove all fear so that they did not fear. He guides us so that we should never be afraid. What is there to be afraid of when you have His accompanying presence, His guiding hand? The Lord is thinking of you and thinking about everything for you. The Lord is so near to you that He is holding your hand. What is there to fear? So that they did not fear. It removes fear in two forms. It takes away dread. There is dread sometimes in our hearts about things that might happen. Do you wake up some mornings feeling a sense of dread, a sense of foreboding, gripped with fear or apprehension, and you wish that you could stay in bed all day? You can hardly face the day. What if such and such should happen? It is the unknown future. It is things that might happen that you hardly dare think about, but He leads us on safely so that we do not fear. What about up ahead? God is up ahead. God is in front. God is always going before us. Even each new day, His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. Go into the new day knowing that God goes with you. God goes before you. Anything that you meet, God will have been there first. There's nothing to fear. Next month, 25 years from now, God is there. He removes the fears of His people so that they do not fear. There's nothing to dread unless you dread God. But He is perfect love that casts out fear. The other meaning of fear is to be startled. That is something which suddenly happens, some worrying event, some frightening thing that comes about. It's natural to feel the worst. You're surprised by it, overtaken by it, and you do not know what to do. But look, if it has happened, it is only what God has appointed and what God is overruling. It is natural to fear the worst, but it is believing and spiritual to have the fear removed. There's no need to be startled. He knew it would happen. He is in what is happening, and He will lead you safely through it. The Israelites did not expect God to lead them through the Red Sea. They were right at the edge of the Red Sea, and the Egyptian chariots and horsemen were bearing down on them from behind, and the wilderness and the mountains were on either side of them. They had no escape. They were boxed in. The deep waters of the Red Sea prevented any escape through them. They were startled. They were terrified. They cried out. But the Lord said to them, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will perform for you today." In other words, do not be afraid. God is there. He simply opened the waters and they went forward through the Red Sea on dry ground. God can open the waters of every Red Sea. God opens doors. God can make the mountains melt away. God can open blocked paths and overcome all obstacles. Do you remember when the disciples were in the boat on the sea and suddenly a storm arose and they came to Jesus and they said, "Master, Master, we perish." Startled, Jesus arose. He rebuked the wind and the raging of the water and they ceased and there was calm. He said to them, "Where is your faith? I was here all the time. Why did you not trust me? Why be startled?" So that they do not fear. Read in the prophet Isaiah, chapter 28, verse 16. "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. They shall not be at their wits' end. They shall not be startled. They shall not be running here and there in panic, not knowing what to do. A Christian should never panic, never be out of control and frightened, never be desperate. The Lord is with them and leading them on safely. It is our fault when we are like that. It is when faith fails, when we forget the Lord is there, when we do not prove Him. No matter what happens, we should have poise and calm and quiet confidence so that we do not fear. Even if the worst should happen, God is still there. He has not left us or forgotten us. But the sea overwhelmed their enemies. We read in Psalm 78, verse 53. The Lord opened the Red Sea miraculously. The Egyptians thought that they could pursue the Israelites, but as they went down between the walls of water, the Lord drowned them and completely destroyed them in those waters of the Red Sea. The Lord took the wheels off the chariots so that the chariots sank in the midst of the sea. And their bodies floated on the water to the shore. It was a marvelous deliverance. The sea overwhelmed the Egyptians. That was the end of the Egyptians. They never troubled the Israelites again. That is a solemn but. God makes the difference between the Egyptians and the Israelites. God makes the difference between the ungodly and His own people. The Lord knows them that are His. Is there a but in your life? But you are not converted. But you are not saved. But you do not know the Lord. But you're not a Christian. But you're not following Christ. But He's not leading you on safely so that you do not fear. Oh, but the exception. He knows the difference. Even God's people at their worst, these Israelites at the Red Sea were complaining and rebelling. Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us here in this wilderness? That did not make them Egyptians. They were still God's own people, and God was still their God. God's people, even at their most unbelieving and rebellious and unworthy condition, God still owns them as His own people, and there's still the but between them and the world. But the sea overwhelmed their enemies. But death will overwhelm every unsaved sinner. The butt of the flames of the lake of fire will overwhelm and will drown every unsaved sinner on the day of judgment. But overwhelmed, condemned, doomed forever, the vengeance of God, everlasting punishment and torment. Overwhelmed, destroyed. Are you saved? Have you known what it is to repent of your sin and unbelief and to cast yourself upon the mercy of Christ and find in Him a pardoning God, a forgiving God, a saving God, a converting, delivering, loving God? He makes you a new creature. He puts all your sins behind your back. He shows you nothing but mercy. The but might be for others, but it is not for you. No, it is the and. And He leads you on safely. It is the so that you might not fear. Be done with this world. Be joined to the Lord's own covenant people who are on the way to the heavenly country and the heavenly city whose builder and maker is God. be separated from this world by the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Christ that buys you back from sin and from death and from Satan. Be blood washed. Rejoice in Christ, saved and going to glory. But the sea of God's wrath and judgment will overcome God's enemies and your enemies. How amazing is the greatness of God's mercy. Despite his people at their worst, he never forsakes them. He never gives them over. He's never done with them. How great is that grace? How great is that love? How great is that blood of the Lamb? Where would we be without his blood? Where would we be without preserving grace, without forbearance, without restoring grace, without God's great faithfulness? Make this your hope. Make this your strength. Make this your comfort. Make this your encouragement. 25 years of the Lord's mercy and of our sins. Believe it. Make it yours. Prove it. Live to his glory and be blessed. Amen. Heavenly Father, we are not deserving of your great promises, of your mercies, of your love and your forgiveness. No, we deserve the overwhelming sea that drowns us in judgment without end. That you are gracious and loving and merciful and kind. And you give to us your word. And you set before us the Savior Jesus Christ, the deliverer, the one who restores our soul, even as he restores our bodies. That the one who removes our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. The one who pardons our transgressions. Lord, we come with nothing in our hands. There's nothing good that we have done over the years of our lives, however many they may have been, that will make us well-pleasing to you. There's nothing that we have done that can atone for our sins. There's nothing that we can do to save ourselves. It is only your grace. It is only your love. It is only your Son, Jesus Christ. It is only by your Spirit. It is only by resting in him that we can be delivered from the wrath and the judgment that you bring upon all your and our enemies. O Lord, give us faith to believe. May we hear your voice and follow you. May we know, Father, the reality of these promises that you have given to us, that in spite of our sins, in spite of our failings, in spite of our unworthiness, in spite of who we are and what we have done, you change us, you save us, you deliver us, you make us your own people, you lead us like a flock, like your sheep, in safety, so that we do not fear, and you bring us to that heavenly home, to that eternal rest, to live in your house for all eternity, without sin, in perfect glory, without sorrow, without death, without regrets. O Lord, may we be found in the Savior Jesus Christ. And we pray, Father, for those who forget him, who forget you, their God, who ignore your word. O Lord, give them no rest and no peace until they rest in you and in you alone. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.